I'd like to seek permission and blessings of the senior Vaishnavas present and all the devotees present too, to be able to do some service here, irrespective of my disqualifications. I also like to seize the opportunity to thank every devotee here in Chopati Temple for their benediction that has enabled me to be here in a close range of 18 months, after 18 years. And I beg that you continue to be merciful, because your association is very wonderful, is rejuvenating, inspiring, and it gives direction. So the more one associates with you, the more he has these attributes. He will be rejuvenated, he will be enthusiastic, and he will have direction. So bless me that I'll be able to come more regularly and get your blessings. Hare Krishna. And also thank Radha Gopinath for their ceaseless mercy. They have been very merciful to me, in the sense that even though I'm not making so much of advancement, but they've not allowed me lost my attraction for devotional service. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Taking our reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. The last two texts of this chapter, 37 and 38. We'll recite the first one, and you repeat. Then we'll continue with the translations and purport. Vyasu bivasu madiva sura sura mahoragahai aprati vandvatam yude aikapatyam chadehinam Vyasu bivasu madhi diva sura sura mahoragai aprati dvandvatam yude aikapatyam chadehinam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki. Grant me that I not meet death from any entity, living or non-living. Grant me further that I not be killed by any demigod or demon, or by any great snake from the lower planets. Since no one can kill you in the battlefield, you have no competitor. Therefore, grant me the benediction that I too may have no rival. Give me sole lordship over all the living entities and presiding deities, and give me all the glories obtained by that position. Furthermore, give me all the mystic powers obtained by the long austerities and the practice of yoga, for these cannot be lost at any time. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, his supreme position due to long austerities and penances, mystic yoga, meditation and so on, Hiranyakashipu wanted similar position. The ordinary power achieved by mystic yoga, austerities and other process are sometimes vanquished, but the powers obtained by the mercy of the Lord are never vanquished. Hiranyakashipu therefore wanted a benediction that will never be vanquished. Om Agyanti Mirandaksya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksuro Militam Yena Tasmaisi Gurave Namaha. The text and the purport give some indication of comparisons. You compare between plus and minus, positive and negative. It's mentioned in the purport that Lord Brahma obtained his supreme position. Lord Brahma, in comparison to the position Hiranyakashipu is aspiring for, Lord Brahma obtained his by long austerities, penance, mystic yoga, and meditation. Hiranyakashipu embarked on same procedure. So they did same thing. But the very glaring thing here is that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned, Savasya chaham ride sane visto, mata smriti jnanam apunaham cham, vedasya sava eva aham eva vedyo, vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. The first two stanzas is relevant to this. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart. In the heart of Lord Brahma, in the heart of Hiranyakashipu, in your heart, and in my heart. Krishna is there as a Paramatma. And while there, he's taking inventory. He keeps records. What are the contemplations that go on inside? Krishna keeps track. And accordingly, he says, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. These are like reward that accrue from what goes on inside. Because Krishna is there, he's taking inventory, then he rewards. He also said in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatamam prapadyante, tam sattaiva bhajamyaham, mama vatmanu vatante, manusya patasavasaha. All of them, as they surrender, I reward. So the reward, in reference to the previous context, is remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Now if you see in the two cases of Lord Brahma and Hiranyakashipu, they both had knowledge. They got knowledge from the Lord in the heart. They have some remembrance, but Hiranyakashipu had more of forgetfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Lord Brahma does not have. Isn't it? A devotee said, the sum total of all the regulative principles is that we always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So the devotee never forgets Krishna. But here, you find somebody who is forgetful. But that forgetfulness also is not by dint of one's own desire. It's a gift by the Lord within the heart. So the whole concept of devotional service at some point looks very intertwined. They are intricate. And if one is not blessed by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you may overleap or overstep sometimes. If we take comparison of the life of Hiranyakashipu, who we are reading in the Bhagavatam, and Bhishma Dev, who we are celebrating his advent today, take inventory and then compare and contrast. There seem to be some usual relationship or similarities in their lifestyle. In Hiranyakashipu's past life, he is, and he is now, a devotee. Bhishma Dev, also in his past life, is and is still a devotee, isn't it? In Hiranyakashipu's past life, he was gatekeeper to Narayan in Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay. In Bhishma's past life, he was one of the 8 Vasus. Now, we cannot exhaust or fathom the mysteries of God, but that by dint of divine providence, they were involved in activities that granted them some kind of rot, the rot of devotees. Hiranyakashipu, as Jai and Vijay, misconducted themselves to the 4 Kumaras, and then they gave them the other side of a devotee. The devotee blesses and the devotee curses. In the Bible, it is mentioned that from this same mouth comes blessings and from the same mouth will come curse. So the devotee will give blessings, they can give curse also. So the 4 Kumaras, they gave curse to Jai and Vijay. And what is the curse? Take birth in the material world. Now the details, the span, was determined by the intervention of Narayan. Either 10 lifetimes as very powerful devotees and brahmanas, or three as very extraordinary powerful demons. They made their choice. We cannot afford to stay without you for long. So we choose three lifetimes as powerful demons. Now when we talk about our life experience, sometimes we are thinking, what I am experiencing now. But because we are conditioned, we have no knowledge of our past life, and we do not know also what our future life is like. But that is one thing that the pure devotee is custodian of. He is Sri Kala Gyani. He knows the past, he knows the present, he has knowledge of the future also. But when we don't know, we are caught up in analyzing or assessing based on the present. So for Bhishma Dev, he also was one of the eight vassals in his past life. And then by some providential arrangement, he was involved in taking the Kamadenu cow of Vasistha. He gave a curse also. So in both the cases, there was dealing with some pure devotees and there was curse. And the consequences, they have to take birth here in the material world. Now, Hiranyakashipu came. By the time he will come, there were so many abnormalities in the material setting. But ultimately he was born. And Bhishma Dev also, Devavrata. When he was born, there were also certain abnormal circumstances surrounding his birth. Ganga, when she married Santanu, married on conditions. I will marry you only on one condition, that whatever I do, you don't speak about it. So you know, when a man is enamored by the love or attraction for a woman, he unconditionally accepts all conditions. But later you will find out that some of the conditions are not really realistic for him. But just to let go, he accepts. Okay. So Santanu accepted, not knowing what Ganga meant by, without speaking, whatever. So when he started unfolding, when she conceives to give birth to a child, because that was her contract, it's a deed of contract, was a truce. By the intervention of the demigods, that these eight vassals, they are not all guilty. And so, there is a need for intervention. So, Ganga was pleaded with to intervene and be their medium of return. As soon as they take birth, send seven back. Vasistha said, I approve of this. But the one who was actually guilty of taking my cow will remain in the material world. So these are things that have been preset before this experience. But for the man or the ordinary perception, you will only see to the level that you can perceive. So Bhishma and the preceding vassals took birth through Ganga under the shelter of Santanu. As soon as each one is born, Ganga will send them to the river Ganges, so that will be their route to go back to their planet. She did this seven times. Each time. You can imagine what it means. In the modern time, many marriages broke up because of lack of progeny. And even where there is progeny, there is threat. Like it is mentioned, to have one son is like having no son. So such threats are there. And here is the case where there is progeny, and it is wasted progeny. And that also is not with the mutual consent of the two parties involved. So, first one went, second one went, third one went, fourth one went, fifth, sixth, seventh. By the eighth time, Santanu could not help. He breached the contract. Neye! Neye! He shouted. No! Killer of her sons. You know, it's a heavy word, harsh. Killer of her sons. He mentioned to Ganga. And Ganga turned back and said, did I hear you? Remember, you promised. And since you broke the promise, I broke the marriage. So the eighth child was still with her, not thrown away, but she made away with him. She walked out on the marriage and left with Devavrata. So see the unique thing. Devavrata, under the shelter of the mom, got sufficient education from different demigods, including Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. And was trained in many aspects of material living. He was outstanding. Hiranyakashipu also had a royal upbringing. And he had everything that was required for healthy living. Bhishma had the same. But in application, Hiranyakashipu abused the facilities available to him. Bhishma Dev sacrificed the facilities available to him. And these are part of the ingredients why he's one of the Mahajans. The understanding in the disciplic succession that we follow is living for others. Lord Ram did a similar thing. To keep the honor and the integrity of his father, he sacrificed the kingdom. Bhishma Dev, to give succor to the father, took ferocious vow in a bid to meet the conditions of the fisherman who is the father of Satyavati, who refused to give his daughter in marriage to the king. But Bhishma tried to ascertain reasons for the refusal. Who will refuse a king anything? In the modern time, there are things that are said to belong to the government, and nobody has right to encroach or usurp it. I recently went to the farm, and I think the devotees in the farm were mentioning, adjoining land after this portion belongs to the government. It cannot be acquired. It cannot be sold to anybody. But it can be used only on the conditions of the government. So that is there. Now in a kingdom, everything in the kingdom belongs to the king. But here is a family who is refusing the king of a request. So Bhishma went and tried to find out what is the problem. And the fisherman gave his condition. We're already low class people. We cannot by providence get to the king, the palace, and we still remain nobody. So if my daughter will marry the king, we have to be noticed. And he gave his condition and condition. Bhishma will always fulfill. I agree to this. I agree to this. Your grandchildren will be kings. And the fisherman went on. What if you are not there and your own offsprings resist this promise? Now he's fine-tuning a deed of contract. So he said, if my offsprings are threat, I want to give you the last smash of conviction. I will neither marry nor have offsprings. So what is left? No more conditions. But it is in taking that vow, I will neither marry nor have offsprings, that he made the highest sacrifice. And you can imagine his life, living in the kingdom with all the opulence of the royalty, but he was just a watcher man, watching things that go on there. And when they are not even palatable, he had no control of them. He just watched them, big austerity. So, he sacrificed and he brought Satyavrati as a wife to the father. In doing this, he got the benediction of his life. You will die only when you please, when you want. Hiranyakashipu did not have such condition, but he also, by dint of knowledge, embarked on austerity. And at this portion we are reading now, he's getting benediction from Lord Brahma. So if you see their life, their past life, and until now, there's very great similarities. They were cursed, and then they had their material birth, whatever circumstance led to it. Then they walked in their material living for blessings. Bhishma worked for blessing. Hiranyakashipu worked for blessings. But there is a difference in the blessings both got. It is at this point we now introspect a little and see the dealings of God with his devotees is not what any material intelligence can fathom. No. You need divine grace to comprehend the dealings of God with his devotees. Because the two individuals we are speaking about now are devotees of God. It is just their present material embodiment that makes one look like a non-devotee and the other a devotee. It's a lesson for all of us. You can only see the vessel, but you cannot see the interior of the vessel. You know what I look like now. I have a black body. I'm from Africa. That you can see. But can you see the soul? You cannot. And can you know the longevity, the span of the existence of the soul in the material body? You cannot. So in our dealing with devotees, it requires that we be very meticulous. Giving credence to the fact that we have our human and material limitations. And that also will be embedded in our utterances also about devotees. What you say about a devotee? Be careful. So Hiranyakashipu got benediction. Bhishmadev got benediction. Now, from their benediction, Hiranyakashipu became a terror, a threat to the whole living entities. But Bhishmadev, with his benediction, was source of hope, source of sustenance, and a guide for growth. Because even when the kingdom was almost collapsing, Satyavati had kids, she lost the children prematurely, and there was nobody to take over the throne, she did not go hither and thither. She went back to Bhishma and said, there must be a king in this kingdom for posterity's sake. So Bhishma was the one consulted. Do people consult Hiranyakashipu? People are threatened. They are afraid. Okay? So Satyavati also intervened in an unpalatable way, but Bhishma as a devotee accommodated it. Lakshman accommodated the same from Sita. He told him, you are the surviving male child in this family. Satyavati was telling Bhishma. So put these widows in family way so that they can have offsprings for continuity of this kingdom. But Bhishma said, remember, my present life is a sacrifice for you. I vow never to marry, nor to have offsprings. Now you are requesting that I break my vows. It's not possible. In her rage, you know, which is feminine, in her rage, she gave him a curse. You will not die until you make somebody a king in this kingdom. Option not defined. From where will the person who will become king come? She didn't mention, but she just gave a curse. So it's in fury. You can speak, you can curse, you can do it, but there's sometimes need for intellectual application. Bhishma never mentioned anything. He went away. He slept over it. But the next morning, he came back to Satyavrati. Sometimes when people speak harshly to us, we keep away from them, isn't it? But see, he came back, not minding. This is a good lesson for householders. Sometimes the wife is so nagging and she eats up all the masala in your brain and you think, give me a break. But it's your responsibility. You have to keep the relationship. You have to sustain it. You have to absorb everything and still carry on. So Bhishma, though not married to her, but was acting like that. He took the austerity. There was pain. There was dissatisfaction. There was everything. But he came back to her. Otherwise, sometimes you will be keeping malice with your wife for 5 days, 3 days, no talking. You will not eat what she cooks like this, just to make her feel you are dissatisfied. That is mundane. But see the life of a Mahajan. He came back to her and said, "Mom, I got an idea. It is written in the scripture that where there is this kind of scenario, if we get a very outstanding saintly person to put the widows in family way, the children begotten from that are qualified to be heirs to the throne." He said, "Wait a minute, you're making a point." And immediately she remembered she had Vyasadeva when she was younger, and they parted on the condition, "Mom, whenever you need me, send for me, I'll be there." And immediately she felt this is a good direction, and she called for Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva came and made for, he built the bridge, and the conditions were fulfilled. But Satyavrati, although took counsel from Bhishma, did not withdraw the curse she uttered on him. "You will not die until somebody becomes a king in this kingdom." And that is why in the battlefield, Bhishma fought. He was shot. He had to lay on bed of arrow until the end of the battlefield for this one cause. And also for the blessings of the father. So blessing from the father, a curse from the stepmother. He was living with it. When the battle is on, nobody is still the king, so he cannot die. But when the battle was over and Yudhishthira emerged victorious and was to be crowned the king, that curse became nullified. So he lived through the curse and he took advantage of the blessings also, that he died when he wanted. So they had both had circumstances that they had cause, they lived for it, they became source of threat or inspiration for others. And then at the end of their life, this is just to make use of the time at our disposal. When Hiranyakashipu was dying, what was the scenario like? They had similar advantage. Hiranyakashipu encountered God in the form of Nisimhadev. God. Bhishmadev encountered God in the form of Krishna at the time of death, both. But Hiranyakashipu was not at ease, though he met God, because of his background. Bhishmadev seemingly was in great physical anguish, agony, at the time of death. And he saw God, but he was in tranquil, calm, and in ecstasy. See the situation. Hiranyakashi was in his palace, which is what everybody aspire and live for, to have royalty. And God came to his kingdom. But there was pandemonium. Bhishma was lying on bed of arrows with pains, anguish, and the memory of all that has transpired to make him be on this bed of arrows. But when Krishna was present, it was as if he was living in a kingdom. Calm, serene, peaceful. So the lesson there is, God is for every one of us. He said, Savasya Chaham, Ridhi Sani Visto. I mean, everybody's heart. But what you get from God is going to be determined by what is your attitude towards God. And your attitude will only be enhanced by the type of information you process in relationship with God. Information, consciousness, attitude. We have been gifted naturally with knowledge acquiring faculties. And you bring all kind of information in. The degree of the information you bring in about God enhances the type of consciousness you culture. Krishna consciousness, Maya consciousness, Bombay consciousness. It's information processing. And then your consciousness informs your attitude. So Hiranyakashipu cultivated sufficient information that make him see Vishnu as a threat, an enemy, and somebody to tangle with. But Bhishma cultivated some information that made him feel Krishna should be venerated and he should be taken shelter of at every situation of our lives. Information processing. And that informed the kind of consciousness they both have. And their consciousness determined what attitude they had towards God. And it is this attitude that made for the kind of reciprocation they got. Ye yataman prapadyante tam sataiva bhajami aham. God will reward your attitude. So, Hiranyakashipu got the reward that God is infinite in his mercy. He was volatile and hostile to his physical body, but he was not to the soul. He gave him liberation. Because he has been devotee, he is devotee then, he's still devotee, he will remain devotee. So the scripture says, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We're all devotees. It's just that the play of the energy of God is such that some people now seem to be in coma. Or they are retired from regular devotion. And some are active, but everybody is devotee. So Krishna is happy to the degree that we extend ourselves to activate the circumstance of those who are seemingly feeling retired or in coma. Activate them. And they become conscious of their original constitutional relationship with God. God is excited by that. Vijay Prabhu was mentioning the other day, three things speedily that will make God pleased, Krishna pleased. Is when you give Krishna consciousness to those who don't have it. And that is what the deep secret of our Krishna conscious practice is. How to extend ourselves to give Krishna to people. Somehow or the other, they should be Krishna conscious. It is not a fashion or a show that we have to shave, put on sika, tie dhoti, put on tilak marks. No. It's not sure. We are not advertising any product either. But the significance is, when somebody sees you, immediately, in the subconscious, he runs down the memory lane fast, and he remembers, this is some sacred sign of some people. Then either that will induce him to make inquiries, or he will confirm what he already knows from within. He may exclaim, Hare Krishna, I will make inquiries and in the, oh, so you are the Hare Krishna people. So you wake him up from slumber, Jeev Jago. So we have been designed for this, and our mental state, our attitude, and our work pattern should enhance this. Mahaprabhu said, Yaredeka Tarekaha Krishna Padesh. Wherever you go, whosoever you meet, remind them about Krishna. Because that is the only missing thing. That is the cause of their misery. And so to the degree that we are being faithful to actualize this, you will always have the association of Mahaprabhu. This is his word. You will never lose my association. I will meet you here again. So the way to keep company of God is by always trying to give God to people. God will always be there. In the church, they call it Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? And it is just because people have their apprehensions, their prejudices. That is why we start thinking, my sect, my religion, your religion. In the end, God is one and his mission statement is one. All the conditioned souls should come back. That is his design. So if you scrutinizingly study all the revealed scriptures, contemporary and Vedic, you find out the mission is same. That those who are conditioned in material life, They should be able to assess God somehow or the other. That is the bane of the teaching of Islam. That is the bane of the teaching of Christianity. And that is what we live for also. So unto the degree that we do this, God becomes pleased and will always have his association. So in the end, Hiranyakashipu left his body. Bhishma Dev left this planet. But their afterlife, what is the afterlife history? Anytime you hear Hiranyakashipu, is there anybody who wants to name his offspring Hiranyakashipu? Does it happen? Nobody. But Bhishma Dev, you go for it. Isn't it? So that is afterlife. Bhishma became a model to emulate. But Hiranyakashipu, you abhor him. Nothing to do with him. So this is the deep lesson that we have for today, being Bhishma Dev Appearance Day, and also reading about the life of Hiranyakashipu and his seeking benedictions. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, comments, chastisements, or additions from the senior Vaishnavas present? Somebody wants to ask a question.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I just wanted to ask you if you can tell us something about when you were here 18 years ago, how it was here.
Because you ask, otherwise I think most people who met me 18 months ago had this. I was reading through the Vaishnava Sovena, the Jamasami Sovena for last year, 2007. And a good history of this is presented there. And yesterday I was speaking to one devotee here. It was a wrong statement and I told him, well, it is not the right word to use, but what to do. This is the right thing. In the beginning, anybody who came here was a refugee. We were ISKCON refugees under Kitanananda Swami. Because he was excommunicated, most of the disciples left wherever temple they were and they came here. They converged also in Delhi. From Delhi and Rishikesh. I was in Pune then. Then I came from Pune here. And we're about 13 devotees. Our hope of subsistence was based on 10,000 stock of books that Sadhana Siddha Prabhu, who became Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he came with, because he was a Sankirtan, was a book Sankirtan in charge in one of the buses. There were buses in Juhu who had people in charge of them. So he came with all that stock of books here. They were valued 10,000 rupees. So we'll go daily. We collect, we distribute the books, and we live based on what comes from the books. This hall was not there. There was my own coaching center here. There was Bola's classes on this side. There was Tinkerbell downstairs. And we had only one small place that is not there again. There was a small room that is where we take prasadam now. It has become, it's gone into extinct. That's where all the devotees stay. But on the wall, if you enter the prasadam lobby now, the wall on this side, as soon as you enter, where they keep the plates, that is where we'll keep a table and keep the picture of Radha Vrindavan Chandra and we'll hold Mangalati. And after that, we sign off like Voice of America. We'll clear the paraphernalia and we all go. As things progress, we got more facilities. We got the room. Where is the prasadam hall? The kitchen now. Half portion of it, the kitchen, and then the ashram. and then the small room. Then later, we got this hall. Simultaneously with the school, but we are more like a disturbance to the school. So they have to do soundproofing and all of this, which never worked. And slowly, the Singhasan came. The middle portion is the original altar. And the deities came. An installation took place. And after the installation, Kitananda Swami came before that and introduced sticker and Food for Life coupon Sankirtan, just to help improve our livelihood. The stock of book was 10,000. It is hardly sufficient to run anything. So we started sticker Sankirtan with Food for Life coupons. And it was mandatory for every disciple to go on this Sankirtan. One of the best collectors then was Mother Vishaka. She was young, about finishing school, but she was collecting very well. Both those residents and those outside were participating. So we have to hit all the ice cream parlors around here between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. in the night. There was transcendental competition with the brahmacharis. But at the end of 1 month, there was a huge amount of money to lodge in account, and things started growing like that. I was speaking with Maharaj 2 days back. Radha Maharaj was asking me, what is this place compared to when you were a commandant here? I said, there is transfiguration. It's something else. Nobody in his wildest imagination would conceive then that this could become like this. But all glories to the potency of Krishna that can make anything possible. So that is the much I can tell you to conserve time. Hare Krishna. Any other one? Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.